Oftentimes, we receive letters here at the campus of the University of Healing from our students from throughout the world. And they write very interesting letters and very interesting questions. We just received a letter from Stephen Stressley, the former president of the University of Healing, and he has moved to Switzerland to work over there and develop the publishing of our books in German and in other languages. And in the process, he is now no longer at the monastery and no longer in the vibrations of the monastery. And so many beautiful questions have come up in his mind as to where he is, where he stands, where he's going. This is a letter that we received from Stefan on email just today. And Sylvia, our abbot, will read it and then we'll comment on the letter.
Beloved Herb, it has been a long time, but here I am. Yesterday I sent you photos of our new apartment, etc. As you can see, there are miles to go yet to furnish it completely.
May I add, he said it's a long time. It's 4 days ago that he wrote.
Step by step. I have been asking myself a few questions recently. One, you have shared with us the idea to think or say a billion times every day, I am God, I like me, I am independently wealthy, I am whole and perfect, I am a spiritual master, I am spiritually illumined, and what have you. Question, can I truly think myself into illumination? In other words, think you are a master and you are? Is this all there is to it from your point of view? Frankly, I have my doubts here. Why would roadblocks such as possession, judgment, touchability keep appearing? According to my understanding, the divinity is beyond the mind, beyond thought, beyond the self, beyond this physical being I call I. How come thought is so emphasized when it is pure illusion? True, it is a tool, but isn't thought only valid for the world of the mind, the world of illusion, the world of the physical? I understand clearly what the monastery is all about in terms of learning non-possession, non-judgment, and being untouchable. It is an excellent place to reveal these. I fully realize how personal desires, personal achievements, and laurels are destructive on this path. The art is to keep that as the primary goal in mind while being a monk. It is so easy to be sidetracked and think the uni is important. Also from a distance, it seems easy to be at the monastery or to attend school of the master. But when you are in it, it often is a different pair of shoes. Many of us attending school of the master thought ahead of time, oh well, now I'm going to do this master bit within 90 days, and I am a master revealed, period. Well, the facts speak differently. Two, attitude is our magical word. Yet, what does attitude mean? Does it mean to apply the law to bring about the desired, more pleasant effect, as we are used to do? Or does it mean to face a circumstance and flow with it untouched? I ask myself what the Pollyanna attitude is all about. I don't think it has anything to do with the divine as much or as little as a non-Pollyanna attitude. The divine is beyond that. I sometimes think that wearing rose-colored glasses, the denial of factual illusions and the suppression of unpleasant events makes us weaker and supports the wish to not face unpleasant illusions, thus we remain in the status quo of being touched. Why else would we place new causes in motion? mainly because we haven't mastered being untouched, the experiences we create. A master flows with life. You being in various monasteries during these many years could have easily created yourself out of those places, but you did not, because it was a learning situation for us and also because you were untouched by the experience. It would seem like a master doesn't manipulate illusions. A would-be master quite likely doesn't manipulate illusions either. He learns to flow with illusions and thereby learns being untouched. What is your thought on this? 3. I have wondered why the spiritual path appears to have to be so demanding at times. Is it because we make it that way? It also appears that you sometimes, or let me say always, reflect this attitude. Smile. 4. Do you also reflect our thoughts and ideas in regard to sharing this philosophy on a daily basis at the monastery? For example, do you share the Pollyanna concept because it is where I am in consciousness right now? Would you share the concept of attitude, the way I see it, if I were advanced enough? I allowed myself to pull out all the stops here. Thank you for listening, to taking the time to share your point of view. Another weekend has passed. Once again, I was babysitting Luna, Gertrude's dog. With her, I drove to my mom's to take back a table I had loaned from her. A big hug and kiss to you and the monks. I love you. Love, Stefan.
Sylvia, what is your point of view on Stefan's letter?
Well, basically, I believe that what he writes and doubts that it is not possible, that I think it is exactly in the way he writes it, it is possible.
Ellen, did you have a comment?
I believe that our training and here at the monastery, especially at the monastery, is so favorable for all that we're teaching, being one-pointed, self-disciplined, self-dedicated, self-determined, self-diligent, because it is the attitude on how we are facing certain things, the attitude, training it constantly to be untouched and being on the daily basic, being myself and having fun, being myself and having fun. That's it.
Sylvia, you
I would just like to add that for me his letter reflects how easy it is when we are out in the world to be distracted from principle.
Did you have a comment, Anita?
Yeah. My first thought is when I'm listening to this letter, I believe it got forgotten to live in the moment, to enjoy who I am. I can only talk about me, not about Stefan, in the moment and see that as divine as it is right now with this, with the principle in my back and see the training which Alan was talking about, not as a training. Like it's something I have to do to get somewhere. It's something I do now for the fun of being myself now. It's not, I'm not going for something. There's no goal in quotes. It's in that training I create for me as God, as the Creator, to enjoy myself and live the principle. And that is totally forgotten in that letter.
Yes, I'm astonished about this letter, and my impression is that all what he has learned or learned here in Zuni. Well, the first time I listened to this letter, and here his questions are very interesting. Well, I understand that the life, the human life in the outer, is quite different the one we live here in the secluded, wonderful place of the monastery. It is quite a difference in being sidetracked and difficult always there to follow the principle, especially when you are forgetting who you are. Just know that you are the perfect creator of everything you experience.
Thank you. Those are good comments that you've made. The thing that we want to do when we hear a letter like this from Stefan or from any of our students or from any of our friends who write us and say, it's Pollyanna to say, I am well when I'm not. It's Pollyanna to say, I am a master when I'm not. It's Pollyanna to say, I am whole and perfect when I'm not. However, from medical doctors and scientists, we learn that by having a positive attitude, the healing takes place because the healing is natural to be there. But let's look at what Stefan is pursuing here. He's pursuing the idea that the monastery is a place where people learn to be spiritual masters. He's pursuing the idea that the school of the master is a place where we learn to be a spiritual master, and we pursue that, and when we finish the course, which is usually 2 years, and I gave it to you in 3 months, that we would come out illumined masters. That would be lovely. And it's possible. It's very possible. However, what we are training you is to remember who you are. You are God, all of God. You, right this minute, are a spiritual master. You, right this minute, are the King of Siam, but you don't know it. And I tell you, you're the King of Siam, and I show you the papers and say that you're the King of Siam, and still you don't believe it. So then I take you over to Siam, and they say, welcome home, King, you know, and you still don't believe it, you know? And they're saying right in your face, you know, you're our king, where have you been? You know, we missed you, you know, you're wonderful. Well, a spiritual master is the same way. We are a spiritual master, and we don't want to admit it. For whatever reasons, we don't want to admit it. Maybe we're having a good time being a human being, and that's wonderful. But we don't want to admit it. And so then we're training ourselves, as we come to the monastery here, we're training ourselves to be aware that we are. What is the biggest thing that we are doing here at the monastery? We are learning awareness. What's the biggest thing we are doing in the outer world? We're learning awareness. Now, are we aware that we are wonderful human beings, wonderfully made? Oh my, yes, that's brought to our attention very readily. But are we aware that we are spiritual masters right now? That everyone is God. Everyone is perfect. Everyone is wonderful. This is why we have these affirmations. The affirmations are not going to make us masters. The affirmations are going to let us reveal to ourselves that we are a master. How much does it take to prove to you you're the King of Siam? I tell you, I show you the papers, I take you over there, the people say, welcome, King! And still you doubt. And then, hey, then you get in the business of being a king for a couple of weeks, a month, or a year, and you know you're back in the saddle again, and you never remember that you weren't king. Once you are the king again, you don't remember that you weren't king. You couldn't visualize yourself ever believing that you were not king. And so it is with our spiritual mastership. So it is with our awareness of our divine reality. When we are aware of who we are, we do not remember that we ever were not aware. And we are making these affirmations because our conscious mind is clouding over our spiritual perception, our spiritual awareness. Our conscious mind is saying, you, master, ha! You know, the sun burns you. You're a master. If you were a master, the sun wouldn't burn you, right? If you're a master, you walk out of water. If you're a master, hey, those are not tests of being a master. Those are only tests of whether you have passed that particular little examination. the examination of, did you do your mathematics and are you now in algebra? Are you now in geometry? Are you, do you know your geography? Do you know where the cities are and the states are? Do you know where the capitals are? And you pass the test in geography and all of a sudden you know where all the states are and all the things are. You say, yeah, I like geography. You know, it's fun now. You know, I passed the test. It's interesting. Did you remember when you didn't know the states? No, I know them now, so I don't remember that I don't know. This is how the little tests we have here at the monastery are. I give them to you regularly, and it takes quite a bit of effort to do this, because I see you as masters. I see you as ascended beings. I see you as fully revealed God. And for me to look at you and have you say, but I can't do this. So then I test you and I say, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Affirm it. Know it. Be it. And so then you affirm it. Now, Stefan's questions here are very normal, very reasonable. They're by anyone who is here or there. They would like to see instant results. Well, I've told you all, we have many students who come to the School of the Master here, many students who come to the monastery, and they work at the monastery and they train themselves in spiritual illumination. And many of them arrive at the step of spiritual illumination. And when they do, you don't remember them. They don't ever remember having been here. They have arrived at that state of awareness where they are themselves, where they are divine. Now, you say, well, Herb, that's just an excuse for not letting us meet anybody who's become a master. And yes, that's true. But that's the way it works. And you say, oh, God, Herb, here I've been here at this monastery now for 18 years, 20 years, 25 years. My goodness sakes, when am I going to be a master? And I say, how long did it take the others to become aware that they were masters? Has this school only been going on 25, 28 years? That's the registered university. Mm-hmm. But has it been going on? Have I been privileged to be teaching these things for a long time? Yes. Are there eons and eons of time of people who come to Earth with one purpose, to remember who they are? And when they find it out, look, they're there. Richard Bach wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull. A voice followed him and said, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And finally he sat down and said, all right, voice, what is it? And he wrote the first half of Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And bunk, it was gone. And he couldn't think of one more word to say, because it wasn't his story. It came from his inner depths. It wasn't the surface thing. And then, 7 years later, the voice came back again, more or less. 7 years later, the voice came back and said, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and continued right where it left off until it finished the story. Word perfect, like Mozart's creation of music. Nothing to change. Nothing to do anything about. Interesting, huh? Now, did he remember not having known Jonathan Livingston Seagull? Did he remember not having written it? See, this was his illumination. It was not his spiritual comeuppance. It was not his arrival at his spiritual level of mastership. It was just an indication of how it works. Now, you have these illuminations quite often, all of you. Stefan has had them. And these illuminations have titillated you to the point where you had to come back to the monastery. Or it's not here necessarily that you're going to learn. You could learn anywhere else. You could learn at home. You can learn from any other teacher. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You cannot run away, because the illuminations keep coming up inside of you. And they keep saying to you, yes, yes, it is true, I am a master. It is true, I am God. It is true, everything is beautiful. It is true. And then you come back here, and then this seems like child's play. because you've made some great steps. But you come back here perhaps for self-discipline, self-dedication, self-diligence, self-determination, or one-pointedness, untouchability, unpossessed, non-judgmental. Why are you back here? Why are you back? As I said earlier, just because you can walk on water doesn't mean that you have the awareness that you're a master. Because people like to kid about Jesus. Jesus was very good at walking on the water. He knew where the stones were. You know? And we were watching Oklahoma, and this girl was picking on her boyfriend, and her boyfriend got so, "All right, so it is." And he sat down on the stove. And she said, "You're sitting on the stove!" And instantly, he thought the stove was hot. He jumped up as though the stove was burning hot, and he touched his bottom. He said, "It's not lit." But you see, for an instant, he had all of the feelings of what the stove was, if the stove was lit. And this is how we are. We have, for an instant, all of the feelings of what our spiritual reality is, of what it means to be a master, what it means to be a spiritually illumined being. And then, poof, we say, "But it's not hot." Stay with it. Stay with it. And, Stefan, keep pursuing these questions. Keep pursuing these questions just like Siddhartha did. And you too will have your Kamala. You too will have your experiences that seem to be so very important, but in the end, they will be all lost. When Kamala could have been yours, she was bitten by a viper and died. When the son that was yours could have been yours, he ran off and he had no interest whatsoever in anything that you were, because you were not with him during your important years. Now, if you're going to leave the search for your spiritual self, then you too will have a son that will not remember you, nor be interested in anything you do, because you didn't remain true to that desire within your heart. But if you do remain true to the desire within your heart, that doesn't mean coming here to the monastery, that doesn't mean promoting the university, that only means promoting your divine self to yourself. If you will follow that path, if anyone who walks the spiritual path will follow their own inner guidance, their own inner leading, you will arrive, and you will arrive very quickly. But if for one moment you want to pick on somebody else, and you want to say that their philosophy is not harmonious for you, whether it's a Hindu, a Christian Scientist, a Catholic, a Lutheran, a God Unlimited, whoever that may be, whoever we want to belittle because they don't think like we think we think, well, the moment of comeuppance comes very quickly, because who we think we are not. Who we think we really are not. Because we go through ups and downs, ins and outs. We go through wonderful experiences. And as long as we are true to ourselves, and we love ourselves, and we accept everyone else as our creation at this moment, just how we created them, then we are walking our path, and we're having fun and being ourselves. Because remember, Monsieur Stefan, one of the rules of being here at the monastery is to be yourself and have fun. And if you are being anyone else other than yourself, and if you're not having fun, this is not the place to be. And if you, whomever you are, not only you, Stefan, but whoever you are, if you're not being yourself and you're not having fun, it is better to shuffle off this mortal coil and move to another dimension where you could be yourself and have fun. But I say, do it here, do it now. Enjoy. Be yourself and have fun. And with this, I can only say, you have never been out of my arms, you have never been out of my love, you have never been out of my caring, and you never will. I love you.